Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Being called to assist to teach some a counseling course in Cuba with Dr. Steele, which everybody pretty much around here may know. That was a great blessing. We spent a week at the Baptist Seminary in the eastern coast, Santiago de Cuba. And what a hunger for the word, and what an amazing thing God is doing in this country. But I have to say, it was intimidating preaching. First, I went to preach at a local church in Santiago, and it's a nice-sized church, and they're kind of traditional mixed with kind of contemporary worship and that. And I preached the first service, and when I finished preaching, the pastor said to the congregation, "And I will ask everybody, please, to stay in your seats, and Pastor David will exit first." And he just pointed at the door like that. And I just picked up my stuff and I said, "Man, I've been thrown from places. I've been thrown out from crazy places, but not from church." And I went outside and I stayed at the door, right? And then each and everybody came and said hello and spoke to a bunch of people. That was weird. And then the second service starts, and the pastor is nowhere to be found. And I'm like, uh-oh. I see his wife, but I don't see him. Well, the time comes when I'm supposed to be preaching the word. I come up there, and since I'm so technological, always relying upon this technology, my iPad went, all of my notes went blank. My mind went blank. My heart went blank. I said, "Where are you, God?" And while I was praying before the sermon, and while I was reading the scripture before the sermon, and while I was introducing myself for the second time before the sermon, I was hitting buttons all over and nowhere to be found. So I had to preach whatever I could remember. And praise the Lord, I remembered most of it, as I recall. But then at the end of the service, I still didn't see the pastor. So now I'm having all these thoughts come into mind, like, why is he not here? Is he so pleased with my first preaching that he's like, "He's got it, don't worry about it"? Or is he like, "I'm out of here, I can't listen to this guy"? And then his wife stands up after the service is done and she says, "And everybody please stay put. Pastor David, you may exit now." And I'm like, "Oh, that's twice." So I went out, and then I understood that that's something very traditional of them to do that. I didn't know. But then I went to preach at the seminary to students, a bunch of males. There was only two ladies and a bunch of males. And these are all students, and they were studying hermeneutics and homiletics, which basically means how to interpret the word and how to build a sermon. And here I am preaching to all these guys. And honestly, I felt like I was speaking to a bunch of men in a concentration camp or something. It was totally intimidating. All of their looks were like that. They were looking at me, seriously. I mean, I had an illustration that I wanted to tell at the beginning of the sermon, you know, to kind of break the ice and make them smile. I skipped right over that. I didn't say anything. I said, "Don't say that, because they're not gonna smile, they're not gonna laugh." And I was looking at the pastor, the chaplain of the seminary, and he's sitting like this, no kidding. I mean, totally. And I'm like, "This is not good." And then I started preaching, and as I was going, I said, "You know what? I have to be myself. I'm struggling inside, because these guys are just, I'm struggling." I said, "You know what? That's got to be me." And I just started moving that way, and screaming and yelling like I sometimes do, you know? And at the end of it all, the pastor comes up front and says, "Brothers, want to thank God for His word. Pastor David, would you please exit? Nothing else. And I said, now that was even weirder. And I went outside, and then, you know, I had to ask the pastor later from the other church. I said, what is going on? He's like, don't worry, we do that all the time, because if not, people start crowding them and stuff, and that way he gets a chance to say goodbye to people and stuff. And I'm like, okay. Then I asked him at the seminary, I was preaching, and it felt so weird. He's like, don't worry, he told me he loved it. And I'm like, really? Because he didn't show it. He was just, man, not even a smile, but I made it through. And praise the Lord, we are here. But God is doing some wonderful things in Cuba, and I was really, really impressed. But I want to quit talking about that. I'll tell you about my travels later on. Let's talk about James chapter 1. And this morning I had an awesome experience in prayer with God when I first arrived here. Ed always prays with me in the office before we come up here. And as he was praying, he prayed everything that pretty much I'm going to say in the sermon. So that was a little confirmation that God was speaking to me about what we were going to talk today. So thank you, Brother Ed, for being a channel of blessing and confirmation. Honestly, he started praying and everything he was saying, like, did he read my notes? But God knows, right? But let's talk about being hearers and doers of the word. What an important thing it is that we not only become hearers, but also doers of the word. In James chapter 1, we want to read in verses 19 through 25. All right. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25 says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, the context here is that James is talking about, you know, having faith, everyone, and being wise in your faith and not being deceived, knowing what a temptation is and knowing what a trial from God is. So he's saying, you know, he's saying all kinds of deep, profound things that belong to our faith that we need to take into account. And he's saying, you know what, you need to watch yourselves. And later on, he's going to talk about the tongue and being angry and all of that. So, but in the midst of all of this, he just wants to make sure that we understand everything that I'm telling you is no good if you don't get it done. But watch this. He says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. That's important. You may want to note that in your mind, that it is powerful and you need to take it humbly. And once it's implanted, it's able to save your life. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this word. I pray your blessing and your power in our lives through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you see, people approach the Word of God, and they do it in different ways. See, when people look at the Scriptures, when they read them, they may do it in a way that is actually self-deceiving. There are many ways to approach the Word, but the right way to approach it is for it to be transforming so that you could do what it says. God gives you the power, but some people are just like take it as a relativism, just relativistic hearers, let's just say. These are people who say, well, you know, you read the word, I read the word, we all read the word, and it means whatever it means to you, it means whatever it means to me. Let me do my own interpretation, let me live as I live. You do your own thing, I do my thing. Amen? But that is not exactly the way it's supposed to be. You know, whatever is relevant to you is relevant to you, relevant to me. That may be truth. You have your truth, I have mine. That is not the right way to approach the word. We know that. That won't accomplish much. But also superstitious. You've seen some superstitious hearers. People who listen to the word or think because they have a Bible next to their, you know, by their nightstand or in the car, in the back of the seat, whatever, wherever, they think that they're going to be okay. It's like a good luck charm or something like that. They think that because they have one, it's enough. And the people of Israel did the same thing. They thought because they had the Ark of the Covenant that they will have all the victories. Just because they were carrying it, that was it. And God proved them wrong too. You are not going to be automatically blessed simply because you have a Bible or simply because you read it once in a while. Now, there's an emotional hearer also. These are the people who read it looking for some type of emotional high or something, some type of experience that it would be interesting to them. And wow, then there's the theoretical hearers. These are people who read the Bible to gain the information. And now that I know that I know that I know, you know, I know. And that's all there is to it. They know this stuff. They emphasize the Bible and the knowledge and the correctness of the Bible. And they're interested in it, but not so interested in the practical goodness of the Word of God, you know. All of these hearers that we've mentioned then neglect to understand that the idea of the Scripture is to transform our lives. And it's self-deceiving. Now, we need to be hearers, first of all, and we're going to talk about that. But look at verse 19, and the second part of verse 19. It says, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak. Quick to hear and slow to speak. So it gives priority to something here. Silence, my brothers. Silence. Listening. Linda, listen. Linda, listen. Listen, Linda, right? I didn't even want to play the video because y'all have seen it so many times, right? But that kid is so awesome, right? Listen, the voice of God speaking to us. Why is it that we need to pay attention? Why is it that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak? Because you need time to process things, right? That's the problem. We talk too much and not listen enough. So let's think about a couple of things here. First of all, let's think about what it takes or what do we need to do to become a good hearer, to become a good hearer. And to, of course, we're talking about hearing specifically what God has to say to us, to what God wants to implant in our lives. How can I listen to what God wants to tell me? Well, first of all, a good hearer knows how to be quiet. How to be quiet. How to be quiet. Quiet. Have you ever tried to be quiet and in your mind and in your heart, things are just keep going and going and going and going and going, and you're trying to be quiet and you just keep going and going and going, right? Practicing silence and solitude is not easy. It's a discipline. Remember, last year, around this time, we did the Emotionally Healthy Church, right? Remember that? We talked about how we need the time to pause, silence, and just listen to God's word. Because in order to pay attention, you need to be quiet, right? And that's one thing, that's a discipline. It takes discipline. Because even when we don't, right now, you guys are not speaking audibly, but some of you are just going, right? And it's hard to kind of stay still. So if you don't stop, then you won't be able to listen. You won't be able to pay attention. It's because maybe there are some other voices speaking to us at the same time. Voices, our own voice, speaking internally to us about what's going on and what's ailing me and what's worrying me and everything. You know, you're worrying about things, worried about whether the Saints are going to win or not today, maybe. Wow, you guys look just like the seminary students in Cuba. Like, I didn't even hear that. I don't care what you just said. But yet you have the shirt on and stuff. And the hat. And all that, right? Now, I know that you care. But you're not worried about that right now, right? Praise the Lord. We're worried about what God has to say. You see, we need to kind of tone it down and tune it in, right? You see, the radio, we barely use the radio anymore. But when you use the radio, if you want to listen to something, you don't want to turn it off. Hello, right? You need to turn it on. But when you turn it on, you have to tune it into the right station. If not, you either won't hear a thing or you'll hear shh, static, right? And that's the problem. A lot of times we think that quieting down is simply shutting off. God doesn't want you to shut off. God wants you to stay still, be quiet, turn it down, turn your volume down, and tune into what he's saying. We need to keep our senses on and be quiet in order to be able to listen to him. But a good hearer also knows how to tune in to God's word. That's what we're talking about. And you see, you need to do this systematically. And this is very important. Systematically listening and tuning into God, because we need to, basically what I'm saying is, program God's station into your radio and don't program any other stations. That when you try to change station, it always stays on the same. Simply, systematically, consistently listening to God's word through the preaching at the cell group, when you read it on your own, when you listen to it on the radio, when you have all these apps. There's so many apps, right, for the Bible. How many of you have Bible apps? How many of you listen to them and read them? Okay, then use them. That's what they're for. On YouTube, you go and the whole Bible is there in so many ways. So many ways to simply flood ourselves with the word of God, but yet we're not using it. Also, God not only speaks through the Bible when you read it and when you hear it, but also through prayer, right? When you go to pray, you also stay quiet, stay in tune. And when you stay in tune and you're quiet for a little while, God will speak to you. When I was in Cuba, I was sitting at a balcony there just praying and reading. I slowly, and I emphasize very slowly, trying to memorize the book of James. I did memorize Philippians, and I had kind of forgotten a lot of it, but I'm trying to memorize James, and I was probably Wednesday morning. I was sitting in a little rocking chair, awesome, looking at the mountains, and I was praying and reading James, and I said, Lord, I don't even know what I'm going to preach when I get back. I don't know. So I said, I don't have to worry about that. I'll just have to read the word for today, see what God has to say today. And let me tell you, when I got to these verses, poof, I had to pull out my phone and start writing on the phone notes and stuff because God spoke to me. And about 20 minutes later, I put the phone away and I said, thank you, Lord. We're going to get there on Sunday. No problem. So you see, I just had to be quiet, read the word, pray, and be quiet, and he speaks to us. You see, not only he speaks through the Holy Spirit when he speaks to you in prayer, but also he will speak through you through other people. You love that, right? Don't you love it when other people give you a word from God? Well, it depends, right? But you need to be in tune with God through other people. You have to understand that sometimes people do have something for you that comes from God. Don't discount that. Don't be discouraged. But also, he speaks through circumstances. Sometimes God tells you exactly what you need to hear through your circumstances, and you're like, oops, I wasn't supposed to do that, right? Or, oh yeah, I'm in the right place. So God does that. He uses different ways. But also, a good hearer meditates on the word of God. The word to meditate is to worry or to, you know, chew on it and to simply process it and reprocess it and reprocess it. When you worry about things, what you're doing is thinking about it. Well, the same thing with the word. You just think about it. It's the same process as worrying, except that you're not worried, right? And you meditate upon the word. This means that you focus on it in your thoughts. You ponder on it. You think on it. You do reflecting about it. And what is it that God wants me to do in contemplation of what he wants and what he wants you to do? And you do that intentionally. You do that systematically. And you do that with the purpose and the intention that God is going to speak to you and there's something that you need to respond and do. And when you do that systematically and consistently, you will start hearing clearer and clearer when God is speaking to you. Now, James speaks of a mirror, and he says, you know, it's like a man that go looks himself in the mirror, and then he just walks away, and that's it. Well, the words that James is using here, those words are like someone who goes past a mirror and sees himself, and he can see grease or dirt or whatever, or crud in his eyes, whatever. He just keeps walking like nothing. But then he says, with the person who looks intently at the perfect law, he's comparing the law of God to a mirror. And that's where you need to see and look at yourself to see what you look like and see who you are. It's not comparing yourself to other people. It's not comparing yourself to self all the time or to whatever. You compare yourself to what the scripture says about Jesus, and you know your condition. Then you'll see all the crud that you have. Then you'll see all the stains and everything. And what do? You buy some of those cleansing pads and you clean yourself, right? And you take all that stuff off. Some of those hypocrisies, all that makeup, you know, spiritual makeup that we put on, you take all that stuff off. You see, that's what you do with the word. Especially women know what it is to look at a mirror and not be careless, right? You look at every detail and everything. Well, you see, that's the thing. You want to look at yourself intently and meditate upon the word and remember something. And this could be the best spiritual nugget that you can get today. Mirrors don't lie. Just like a mirror, the word does not lie to you. It tells you exactly where you are, who you are, and what's going on. So when you're a mere hearer of the word, or just a hearer, you do similar to the person who just walks by the mirror and that's it, forgets. And there's no influence in their lives. But we don't want that. We want transformation, because the point is to be changed and to be able to do what it says. So I want you to, this year with me, propose to yourself, you see, am I going to become a good hearer of the word? I really want to listen to God's voice this year. I want to be tuned in with God. I want to do it systematically, constantly, and I want to meditate upon that word every day. Amen? No neglecting that. All right, so let's go to the next one. Let's think about not only becoming a hearer, but also let's become doers of the word. All right, doers of the word. A doer of the word does what the word says, period, right? This is too simple. In verse 22, it says that we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers that fool themselves. You deceive yourself. You fool yourself if you think that you're just going to listen to it and not do it. It says you delude yourself. It's like fooling yourself. Don't be a fool. How many of you like to be fooled? Nobody likes to be fooled. I don't want to be fooled. The problem is that we fool ourselves into thinking that we can just approach it casually and it's going to be okay. You see how foolish it is for so many of us as Christians to take the word so lightly and not do what it says. See, a doer of the word does what the word says. See, you don't just do what you want with the word. You do what the word wants you to do. It's totally. And maybe it's because I want to do what I want to do. Or maybe what God is asking me to do is too difficult. Or maybe I don't get the feeling. You know, you don't get that. I got to have the passion. I really got to feel it. I really got to want it. And I don't want to be a hypocrite with God. He says to do this and to do that. And since I really don't feel it, I'm going to wait till I feel it, because I want to be honest with him. Well, you're being an honestly fool. You know that. A lot of times with God, you see, there's different ways that you can change. One is you change what you think, which in turn will change what you feel, which in turn will change what you do. But sometimes you can do some behavior adjustments, right? You change what you do, and it'll start helping you change what you think and then change how you feel. So it's a cycle, and you can come into that cycle in whichever way you want to. The word is going to help you to do that. But I want you to think about this. In John chapter 1, in verse 14, this is speaking of Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, look at what it says. And the word became flesh.
The Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word. And He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. I just want you to see that. Just that part of the verse. And think about it. He is the Word. He is the Word. And the Word became flesh. Has the Word become flesh in you? Has it been fleshed out in your life? Is it being fleshed out in your life? Is it a daily thing to the point where people can see the glory of God in you? You see, it says that we saw His glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Basically, what they're saying, you see, this thing that we were told, this majestic and marvelous word that we were given, became man, became real right in front of our eyes. And we saw Him, and the way He behaved, the way He carried Himself, the way He lived was so awesome. It revealed the Father, His grace, and His truth. We saw it. Can the people say the same thing about us? That we have become such hearers of the Word that has become manifested in our flesh and being doers of the Word. Taking action. God wants us to take action upon His Word. His Word to abide in us, and that His glory may be seen through the way we live. Plant it in your heart. Well, this year, I want you and I to propose to ourselves that we become doers of the Word. Doers of the Word recognize that what the Word has done in our lives. You see, a doer of the Word will recognize what the Word has done in him. You see, you have to acknowledge what God has done in you, and that's going to help you so much. And the Word has power. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the apostle says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for what? For teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. You see, this is awesome. The Word of God does everything we need in our lives and even draws us near to Him and draws us in love. So this is an implication that we have to take action. If the Word of God is going to teach us, the reason why you want to be taught is because you want to learn. And if you want to learn, it's because you want to do something different. Reproof, that means tell us when we are wrong. Tell us when we are wrong. Not only teach us what is right, tell us when we're wrong. And not only tell us when we're wrong, but correct ourselves, change ourselves. Right? And not only change ourselves, but it says training in righteousness, discipline. The word training in righteousness means raise, like when you raise your kids. So this means that it's a lifelong process that God wants to do in our lives through those things. And the reason is because at the end of it all, I want you to look at the next part of this verse, at verse 17. This is very important. 2 Timothy 3:17. So what? So that the man of God may be adequate. That means that He wants to change you. He wants to make you right, adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, hold on. Does the word work mean work? Does that mean action? That means you got to do something. That means He's got stuff for you and I to do. That's the reason why He gives us His Word, to help us understand what He wants us to do. And then let us know what we're not supposed to do, and then correct the things into what He wants us to do, and discipline ourselves on a daily basis to live and to be able to do all the stuff that He wants us to do. So the primary reason that a lot of Christians don't do what they're supposed to do is because they don't know what they're supposed to know, right? They don't know. It hasn't had the appropriate effect in their lives. You see, the reason why sometimes the Word of God may not have its effect in our lives is not because the Word is not powerful enough. It's because we have hardened ourselves. It's because we have filled ourselves with so many fleshly ideas, wrong ideas, our own ideas, and everybody else's ideas, that we have become hardened. So the Word of God, we don't allow it to do its work. For example, and I'll just give you a couple examples as Christians. You know, sometimes, like for example, worship or singing and praising. You see, the word sing or praise or worship appears in the Bible more than 700 times. Hello? And it doesn't just say people used to worship or people used to sing. It says sing, worship, praise. And it says it's over 700 times There's an encouragement for us to sing and to worship and to praise. Look at Psalm 45, just in three verses, verses 5 through 7. God has ascended with a shout. The Lord with a sound. Am I in the right one? Yeah, 47. No, it's not. Maybe look at Psalm 45. I'm sorry. I know I had it. Let's see. Let's try Psalm 45 and see 45:5. I got to find this because I like this. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's in verse 6. I'm sorry. Go to the next verse. It says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all truth. Sing praises with skillful psalms. Five times in just those two verses, the Bible says to sing, 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 sing. Sing, 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 sing. Sing, 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 sing. Sing, sing, sing. I'll let the pastor and those up there do it anyway. No. You see, and let me tell you something. I want you to understand, because it says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. Sing. Why? Because He is the King. And a King has done what we need in our lives. He has done so much for us. You see, you got to have a reason to sing. The reason why people don't sing, because they don't have a reason to sing. And that's one reason to be sad before God. Because if you don't have a reason to sing before God, wow. You know what an oxymoron is? When you put two words or two ideas together, they're just contrary to each other, just don't make sense. It's just not right. That's an oxymoron. A Christian that doesn't worship or sings or praise God. Maybe because the focus is not on God. And we're just thinking, well, I don't want anybody to hear me. Well, I look stupid. I don't sound good. Well, you know, singing is for singers or whatever. I don't know, because they're focused on themselves or focused on whatever the people are going to think or say. You see, when the Word of God, when God Himself has done such a work in your lives that you just can't help but sing, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the Christian should experience. The Bible says sing. But you have to do it wholeheartedly. It even said skillfully over there. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to have a great voice. That means that you do need to do it intelligently. Not just singing anything to God, but singing something with meaning. Because when you sing, there's a few things that you do. When you sing, you obey God, because it says it more than 700 times. When you sing, you edify others. Because let me tell you, the more people are singing, the more excited I am about singing. Does that happen to you? The more people are singing and the louder they get, the more I'm edified and the more I am also encouraged. When you sing, you are also strengthened for trials. Because when you're singing, you're like, nothing can touch me, bro. Why do you think in sports they chant and have cheerleaders? Well, maybe because they look good or not. No, because it gives them motivation. It gives them strength. That's why we like home field advantage, which we won't get. Because, you know, you have your people there singing and chanting and praising, and you're just being loud, and you're like, oh, yeah, I can do this. But when you're out there in Minnesota, and it's minus 15, and everybody's shouting Vikings, you go like, oh, my God. Same thing happens in the battle that we face. When we sing to God, we are strengthened for trials. When we sing, we are filled with joy. Amen? A lot of people are waiting to be filled with joy to then sing, but sometimes it takes a lot of singing to get filled with joy. So just do either way, but just do. When you sing, you give glory to God. You see, when a soul has been greatly and profoundly impacted by the work of God in their hearts, they have no other choice but to sing and praise to God. Like I said, a Christian that doesn't do that sounds like an oxymoron. Now, same thing with reading the Bible. If you don't get motivated to read the Bible, maybe you're just not taking it at its worth. Maybe you're not valuing the word they're supposed to be. Maybe it hasn't done the work it's supposed to do in your life. When you're not reading your Bible and when you're just simply taking it as, whatever, you know, you're like a Pharisee. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? You believe that the word has words of life, that the scriptures have word of life, and you believe right. But then he says, but you have nothing in your heart. You have nothing. You see, a Christian that doesn't dwell in the word, that's an oxymoron also. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. What about proclaiming the truth of the gospel? These are things that we're supposed to do. Remember, we're talking about being doers of the word. We're supposed to be in the word. We're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be praising. What about sharing the gospel? Well, maybe we don't consider the fact that we've been saved by the blood of Christ and that we are saved from eternal damnation in hell. Maybe that's not so important to some people that they don't need to share it with other people so that they can experience the same thing. We talk about the Great Commission. We know the Great Commission, but we don't do the Great Commission. So a Christian that doesn't share the gospel is an oxymoron also. And I don't want to fall in the predicament of that word, especially in the last two syllables, moron. That's hard. I don't want that for you or for me or for any one of us. You see, the Word of God loses its efficacy or its power in your life when you are so full of yourself and other things that you listen but you can't do, you can't respond. We need to be taught, we need to be corrected, we need to be reproof, we need to be instructed, we need to be broken, we need to be all that stuff in order to become real doers. And then, what is the result? We will be blessed. Amen? We will be blessed. Blessed in so many ways. But first, in order to experience the blessing of becoming a good hearer and a doer, you have to humbly receive the word. It starts with a brokenness. Allowing God to be who he is and understand who you are and where you are before him. Humbly accepting, okay? In verse 21, in the second part of verse 21 says, receive with humility the word that's been implanted, the word that's been given to you. Receive it with humility. That is very important. We need to humbly submit, humbly listen, and humbly take in the word that's been implanted. Why? Because it says, which is able to save your souls. It starts there. Accepting the word of God is true so that your soul may be saved. In verse 25, it says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be what? Blessed in what he does. You'll be blessed in what you do. You'll be prosperous. Things are going to go well. Blessed in your decisions and what you try and what you do out there. Now, you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have things that are not going to go so well. But for the most part, you'll start experiencing God's blessing when you become a hearer and a doer of his word. Now, it's important because it says there that this perfect law is a law of liberty. It gives you freedom. Freedom to experience the blessing of God. So humbly receive the word. And number two, meditate upon the word and don't forget it. We already said that. So the blessing is when we start meditating upon it and not forget it. That's when we become effectual doers, like it says there. Effectual doers. Then you are an effectual doer. When you start humbly accepting the word and when you meditate upon the word and take it not so lightly, then you start doing and you become an effectual doer. Now, the question is, do you truly want to be blessed? You know what the word blessed means? Twice as happy. Happy twice. Double happy. Double happy. Twice as happy. You see, do you really want to be like that? Well, then you need the power to change. You need the power to be transformed into not just a hearer, but also a doer. So it will have that effect in your own soul. And the power to do that is only available, and it is available, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember the perfect law, the perfect liberty? Jesus, the perfect law, became flesh. and he shone upon us, and he died on a cross. And because of his death and resurrection, now we have been given the freedom, deliverance, the liberty to become true hearers and doers. Then you will truly be blessed. And I wonder where James got these words. Well, I want to finish with Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus, after his Sermon on the Mount, said the following. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See that? I think that's where James got his words, from his half-brother, Jesus. When he said, you know what? You want to be wise, you don't want to be a fool. Listen and do. Listen and do. Be a hearer and a doer of the word.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.